cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. It feels so good to be back. Oh my gosh. Oh man, now I'm really happy. Like somehow some extra energy just went straight through my body. My goodness me. It's 2017, baby. It is the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. Welcome to it. Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling that. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast a little bit later, I mean, I'm greeting everybody. It's 2017. Time to greet all my people. I've had messages coming through with people asking me, hey, man, when you coming through to the show? Shout out to my people in Nigeria. Shout out to my people in China. Shout out to my people in New Zealand. We've had people coming through from everywhere. It's so humbling to see that, you know, people are listening from all around the world. And of course, we got our locals as well, my bro, from Cape Town, from Joburg, from Pretoria. Awe masakanas. It's super fantastic to be here. My name is Weza. Weza the Maestro. Weza that guy. It's such a great time. This is, of course, a show that is always about a couple of things. We are always trying to make sure that you are informed, educated, in some way or the other, inspired to go out there and make an amazing time of your own life, and also just be the light to make other people's lives a little bit better as well. So, I mean, on this journey, you hear a lot about, you know, young people who are out there making moves, making things happen for themselves, and we try to learn from each other, and we try to see where we can, you know, develop each other as well. So that's exactly what we can look forward to today as well. So I'm not alone today. Well, I am alone in the sense that I don't have my squad with me. They're still all around the world. I know Lesego is in Mozambique. He's got his feet up. Corporate squad goals. You know how he always does his things. Von is in Cape Town right now, living up the life of the most. And I don't even know where Simpiwe is. I just know that he's on the road. So, yeah, I'm on my own today in that regard, but I do indeed have the lovely company of a lovely lady. She's actually, I call her Miss Pretoria or Miss Tswane. Should I be saying Miss Tswane?
No, it should be Miss Pretoria.
Oh, Miss Pretoria. Yes. Okay, but I mean, isn't Pretoria like outdated? Like out, it's like,
no, but this,
you're Miss Apartheid.
Miss Pretoria. So
no, that
Miss
means
Pretoria.
You're Miss Apartheid then.
No, I'm the updated version. So it's
no,
Miss
the
Pretoria.
Outdated.
No.
Pretoria is the new. Pretoria is the old. Tswane is the new.
Please stop hating on the title.
All right. Okay, cool. So we'll call you Miss Pretoria.
Yes.
Cool stuff. I mean, but that's not what your mom and your dad calls you, though. They, you know what I mean?
No. They it's fine. We'll,
yeah, you, the, you know, the sash those stays at the gate. Like when you walk into the house,
I'm
at
a
the
normal
gate,
person.
You're still
going to,
I'm sure the day you, the morning of, you know, you won the title last night, the morning of, your mom was like, you're like, oh, mama, but I'm Miss Pretoria. I can't be washing dishes.
And your mom will look at you like,
tragic.
No, I'm still a normal human. Yeah. Even myself, like I still regard myself as a normal person. Yeah, it's fine. Okay. The title's there, but yeah, I'm still normal.
Cool stuff. I mean, your mom calls you Dumi. Now that's what the friends call you.
Yeah, Dumi when she's being nice, and then Dumelo when she's...
Oh, when it's like...
I'm dead.
When you know that, oh, shucks, she's giving you that.
What did I do now?
Yeah. Okay, Dumelo. But you like to go by the name of Dumi.
Yes.
Cool stuff. So I'm chilling with Dumi right here, and Dumi has actually done quite a number of really cool things. Dumi, let's do a quick highlight of yourself. You know, if you had to tell us about yourself in, you know, in 2 minutes.
In 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm Dumi, well, formerly known as Dumelo Madela. I'm 22 years of age now. My birthday was actually like last week on Christmas. And so I grew up in Carltonville.
Yeah.
Carltonville.
I know taxis to Carltonville. I don't know where to find them, but I remember people saying, I'm taxis.
Yeah, I'm a small town girl also, you know, so it feels good to say that.
Yeah.
And then, went to University of Pretoria, tax. Mm-hmm. I'm even graduating this year.
Nice things.
Yeah, man, I'm so excited. Finally.
Your mom will call you Dumi on that day.
I feel like that day is probably going to be her day. Like, she'll be out. Shining.
Obvious, yes.
So basically then last year, I've also been doing pageants since age of 10.
Wow.
I've been doing pageants, actually. So yeah, then obviously I competed in Miss Pretoria last year, mm-hmm. and then I took the title.
Have you been winning the previous ones as well? Like the, or
I'm not going to gloat, okay? But yeah, I could say I'm good at what I do.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's because of who I am personally. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I've also been walking on the ramp for quite some time. So the skill has developed over the years. Yeah. So yeah, man.
Tell us about, before we go into deep detail, what is the skill behind walking on a ramp? Because to some people it's like, ungazungtshela ngeskill. You just walked from here to there. Everyone walks every day. So
They'll be surprised. Yeah. There are turns. Let me tell you, turns. Things like the half turn, the full turn, the international turn.
International turn.
There's the step turn. There's the half turn. There's a three quarter turn.
Wow.
So it's not just about I'm walking straight and coming back.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe with like runway, fine, walk straight and come back.
Yeah.
But when it comes to pageants, there are a lot of things.
Interesting.
There are a lot of things.
I know. I'm taking that one home.
It's about your confidence, man.
International turn. Wow. I'm taking that one home with me. What? Well, I never knew this.
There are more turns than that, but obviously those are the ones that I can think on top of my head right now. Because we even have exams where at the end of the year, you go in and then we see how you walk. So they'll tell you, do the three quarter turn or do the international turn, do the half turn. So there's a lot of things that people don't know about the pageant industry. They just think, oh no, pretty girl, oh yeah, charity, but there's a lot of effort that goes into it.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's basically about it. And then
so people who win a lot of pageants, don't they grow self-absorbed after some time? You think?
Of course, you get those people. Yeah. I mean, people get big heads. They're like, I've got this. I'm the greatest thing. I won't lie. Yeah. At some point, also me, you know, when I was constantly winning a pageant, I had a big head at some point. Like, yeah, I've got this. Mm. And then the moment you don't win anymore, you humble yourself, so fast. But it's been a life-changing experience, actually. Like, I feel like pageants were the one thing that helped me grow and helped me become the person that I am today. So I'm actually grateful.
Oh, interesting. All right. So today we're talking about how to make a master plan of your life.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's around January right now. Some guys have just received their matric pass, you know, their matric results, and they've passed.
Matrics have done really well.
Yeah.
It.
I mean, we're now on 75.2, something like that.
Yeah.
I just know that there was a growth of a couple of odd percentage, which I'm wondering what, like, is it really growth if you could take into consideration that 24 of the modules were adjusted upwards? And you think, okay, that what does that mean, that they were failing before? Then they're like, all right, guys, it's going to look bad.
I get it. That's why they're breaking it up with the progress students and the not progress students. So before, I mean, it was just all of them passed.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, they're trying to make education look like we're actually doing well by saying, oh no, the progress students are.
You see what I mean?
You know, so it's just like, are we really doing better? Which
sometimes becomes a bit of a tricky you're not
situation,
quite sure.
You know?
Yeah. Cool. I mean, not talking about education too much, but more on the level of, okay, it's the new year, new me type of thing. How do we make this amazing master plan of how we're gonna, you know, make life look amazing? Now tell me, how about you? Do you have some sort of plan for the year?
I always do. You know, you have to, like, in the beginning of the year, ask yourself, what do I want to accomplish by the end of the year?
Yeah.
But it's so funny how life works that half the time, those things never really happen, but better things actually do happen sometimes.
Yeah.
Like for me, example, last year, being on YFM, I never planned that one, like never.
Mm.
So it's just like, fine, I'll plan that. I want this and this and this, but I still work towards it.
Mm.
But by God's grace, something better happens, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, not going even further with this, I was reading something a little earlier by Jim Rohn, and he says, in order to maintain that balance, the balance that you definitely going to need, because I mean, life is also about balance. You can't just do this or just do that. But he says, in order to maintain that balance, here's a key technique that you can use in your life to help keep you on the right track, and it's called a visual chain thinking. So so if you do visual chain thinking, it's almost as if you take each step and you literally break things down, and you think everything that you are doing whether it is a certain discipline that you are, you know, that let's say you just have to overcome eating chocolates today. It's all part of a bigger scheme of things. Like every single thing that you were disciplined at, every single thing that you were diligent at, everything that you did is not just good for that particular thing, but it is actually a bigger picture, so to say.
Yeah.
It's like a chain. Everything is interlinked, and it all boils down to the bigger master plan that you have. So for instance, let's say your dream is to be on TV. Let's say you want to be on top billing. All right. Now, if you want to be on top billing, you know, there are certain things that you must get right in terms of maybe how you are a great presenter and so on. But there might be other things that come along the way. Maybe you also had health goals, like you wanted to have a certain type of body. But you might find that, let's say you wanted to have a six pack and, you know, you wanted to look good. But you might find that by the time you get that opportunity of top billing, they were now looking for someone who has a little more, their physique looked a little better than the average person, because they wanted to put them in, you know, those swimming costumes, and they wanted you to go to Mauritius and, you know, all these type of places, and they wanted someone like this. But now, so you find that discipline that you might have done very well back in the years when you were still planning this top billing thing, and you decided, I'm gonna have less chocolate, I'm gonna do this a bit more, I'm gonna wake up and go to the gym today. And you find that even though, I mean, being on top billing had nothing to do with going to the gym, but somehow everything works out and it connects at the end. And that, I think, is actually a pretty cool thing if you think about it that way. Now, what about you? Are there some dots that you maybe look back at and you say, wow, I see how everything has connected, you know?
Actually, I could attest to that, hey, because last year I wanted to go for training on presenting, like TV presenting, because I want to be on TV, you know?
Mm.
So, fine, I took the step off, you know what, let me go get training. So, fine, I get there and they call us in to come in for an audition.
Mm.
What do I do? Because it's radio and TV.
Yeah.
So, I get there and something's just like, no, try radio. I'm like, okay. So, fine, I try the radio audition. Fine, everything goes well.
Mm.
I get into the training. Fine. During the process of the whole training thing, the one guy that I was in the course with was like, dude, why don't you try out the Y Academy? And I'm like, what? Y Academy? Like, it never crossed my mind.
Mm.
So, I think there was like 2-3 weeks left before the Y Academy was closing, the application.
Yeah.
Fine, I applied. Oh, next thing I get a call to come in, interview, get a call. I went in for the interview. Huh. Next thing, I'm actually in the academy now. Mm. And fine, I go through the whole 6 months process. I applied saying, no, I want to be on air. But during that whole process, you look at everybody else and you're like, but really, am I supposed to be here?
Mm.
And next thing, once the 6 months ends, hey, I get a contract. So it's just like now when I look back at how everything had just happened, I'm busy thinking, okay, so if I had actually gone for the TV thing, was everything going to work out the way things are working out now?
Mm.
So it's just like, wow, there are things that happen in the process that actually change the bigger picture.
Yeah, right?
So I can definitely attest to that sometimes just go with the flow, you know? Yeah, you'll doubt to some situations, but also pray about it. But sometimes just go with the flow. You'd be surprised how things actually turn out in the end.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's actually very powerful. Just go with the flow. I can think of many situations where I was conflicted with, you know, here's an opportunity, but I'm not sure if I've got the time for it. You know, you already think you have these other commitments and you're not quite sure. Yes, it's a great opportunity, but you're not sure.
Yeah,
and
that doubting.
And sometimes you're not sure how you're going to manage it. Let's say, for instance, yeah, it's a great opportunity, but you don't have transport. So maybe you should say, no, guys, I don't even have a car. I don't have transport. I don't know how I'm going to get there.
Mm.
I remember taking up a job where I did not have transport. I didn't even know how am I going to get there. But, you know, the first few times I got there with lifts, I would just ask a friend, hey, man, could you please take me there?
Mm.
But eventually I decided, okay, maybe I need to ask around. Maybe, I mean, I always say to myself, look, if this place has domestic workers, that means there's a way to get here. You know, that's what I always tell myself. So, you know, I say, you come hell or high water,
there's a way
to get here, whether it's a taxi, whether even if the taxi drops you there and then you have to walk. You know, I had to do some really not so glamorous things in the past, you know, to get from point A to B, just so that I could do certain things. But if I had let the fear, or maybe even just the logic of, hey, you can't even get there. You know, there's so many of those negative talks that someone could even have with you, or you can have with yourself to say, I don't even have transport. How am I going to get there? And you let those things hold you back. For instance, I'm so great at voiceovers now and things are going so well, but I could have started a year or even 2 years earlier. Mm. Let me say a year earlier. Yeah. But all that was making me delay is the person was saying, hey, maybe one day when you get a car, we can consider putting you forward for some voice work. And I thought, and I didn't even want to challenge the idea of why only when I have a car.
Okay.
And I just said, okay, cool, when I have a car. So I just saved and saved and saved and saved. And while I was studying, you know, I just saved my own money. And then I was saving money from the voice gigs, the MC gigs I was doing. And then once I had saved enough, I went to an auction, bought a car. And then I called them like, yo, I got a car. Let's do it. And then, you know, then the voiceover industry started. Now, I mean, I've done so well with voice work that it's amazing now. I can't believe that I didn't start earlier. But why didn't I start earlier? Because of some stupid excuse of, no, I don't have a car. Interesting thing is, about 6 to 8 months me having the car, I got into a crazy car accident and I lost the car. But now, the interesting thing is I had already started with voice work now. Yeah. I didn't bother telling them that I don't have a car anymore. And I still made it to every single voice, whether it was an audition or the actual thing, every single, sometimes a little late, you know, but
it's
every single one of them. Yes, yes. And eventually I could be early without having my own car, you know, because, I mean, public transport is not an excuse to be late. But it was amazing because now I was doing the most. I was doing the things that I thought I needed a car to start doing. And that proves that sometimes the problem is what we think we need.
Exactly.
We don't get started. We don't get started because we think we still need a car. We think we still need a connection. We think we still need a qualification. We think we sit back and we think, let me wait until. But then if we had to wait until everything was first perfect, then nothing would ever be done in the world.
And time is so precious.
Yeah.
Hey? Like, looking back now and I'm like, wait, I feel like just yesterday I was in high school. Now already a person needs to start working, like has to start growing up. So it's just like, then you look back and you're like, but why didn't I do this at that time? Why didn't I do that at this time? So time is very precious. Like I always tell people, do it now. Don't think twice about it, because you might find that it actually would work out now. Even if it doesn't work out now, there's still another time, but it's better than trying than not trying at all.
True. Yeah, very true. Well, Steve Jobs also actually mentioning this dot type of stuff. He said that, you know, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backward and looking back into your life.
Powerful.
And then that's when you see how everything just worked well together and you finally see why you had to go through this to meet that person, to, you know, to bump your head there, to be rejected there, so that you can be at the right place at the right time with the right attitude and the right mind and the right type of desperation to grab it. And then things worked, you know. So it's, and he says that, you know, you have to go through life with that belief that somehow things will work out, you know, whether and geez, man, I remember just last year, because last year around this time, I was still now thinking, hey, maybe I'm going to do this engineering thing or maybe not. I was not quite sure at that time. And I think in February, that's when I decided, okay, cool, I'm going to do this media thing and I'm going to push my business and I'm push myself.
Now look at you.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a really challenging time, and my mom is also panicking because, I mean, everyone knew for the last how many years that you're doing this engineering thing. Everyone knows where you're going to work already.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like your life is set and it seems like it's going to be a better than average life. So why change something that looks like it's set? You know, whether it is your dream or not, the fact that it looks safe and secure and it looks good, you know.
And that's sad when people actually follow that path, because then every day now you're going to live your life in regret, knowing that, wait, see, I wanted to do this, but now I can't.
True.
Because I decided to take the safe road.
Yeah.
Whereas now, look at you. You're living a dream. You're actually doing something that you love. So you can wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to work and I actually love my job.
Yeah, that's I was thinking and to myself.
I want to live life like that. Being able right. to wake up and say, I'm going to work.
Yeah.
With such pride and smiling and you're happy.
Yeah.
Instead of now, oh, Gonji, there's work. Oh, ish.
I say work. The best life is lived with a combination of three things. The fourth, obviously, is you know, the spiritual side is really important. So whether that is, you know, God and the blessings and just living in harmony spiritually. But the three things just on the human level is time, money, and love. Like if you got all three of those things,
you're good.
But the problem is some people have a lot of time and a lot of love,
but
no money. And that's a problem, right? That's a problem. A lot of Marekis are sitting with that right now. And normally the love gets affected when the other two are lacking, you know?
And it's true. Money is it's a big factor in our lives.
But it's not the only thing because the triangle is actually important because some people have money, a lot of that, and they have a lot of, they don't have time.
Mm.
And they and then the love suffers again because you don't have time for us, type of vibe.
Yeah.
And then that's also a thing. And that's a challenge as well. You know, it's a problem if you don't have time for the people around you. It's also a problem.
Mm.
And then you get people who have, you know, who might be missing the last one, love. They have a lot of money. They might even have a lot of time because they've, for, you know, I think that's where J. Cole is at the moment. He realized that this money thing that he was going after so much, it never stops. And you're thinking, no, one day I'll have so much money that I'll never have to work. Then I'll have a lot of time and money. And then I can go back to the people I love. But then the time has gone by so much that the people you love are no longer, maybe they, you know, they've kind of drifted away and they think, no, man, you don't care about us. You've never come.
You'll find that you're the person that actually pushed them away.
You know what I mean?
And
it's a tough balancing act, but that is the balance, really. I think it's also part of the balance that Jim Rohn was talking about earlier as well. But he does go on to say, I was actually reading here. He says, when you can see that every link in the chain will eventually lead you to the things you want most out of life and to the person you want to become, then you won't grow discouraged, fearful, or impatient with today. When you can see where you're going through visual chain thinking, even the toughest days, you'll be able to move, you know, past them because you understand that, no, it's just part of life, but my chain of bigger picture thinking still is taking me in the right direction. And that's important. I think I also heard Brian Tracy say something similar as well. He said, if you could, for instance, go to the belief store and buy a belief, what belief would it be? Like if you could buy just one belief. For instance, now, if I could say to you, what one thing would you do if I said that whatever it is, like if we can guarantee that it will succeed, what one thing would you do? Like, what's that one thing that you'll go for if you are guaranteed success in whatever it is that you're trying?
Because, like, for me, like, personally, like, when it comes to success, I never want to lose myself in the process.
Yeah.
You know, success comes by you staying true to yourself. I mean, it's all about the hard work, the patience.
Okay, this is not a pageant. Just tell us, what's that one thing? What's that one thing? What's that one thing? Yeah, sorry. I just made an international turn on you right now.
I'm like, I wish people could see my face right now. It's just like,
yeah. International turn on you. I will internationally turn on you.
Success. That one thing I'll do.
I'm saying is, if you were guaranteed success, what would you be going for? You know, what is that? There might be a dream that you wanted to achieve, and I guarantee you that it'll work. What would it be if you only had one? And we said, if you do this, it will work. What would it be? While she's still thinking, you can actually also send me yours. You can send it via WhatsApp, actually, because now we got this WhatsApp thing going on. It's 2017.
Technology.
We out here. We got screens everywhere, you know. So the WhatsApp number is 079-748-2090. So that's 079-748-2090. 2090. So, and if you missed that, you can just rewind the podcast because it's that cool, right? Cool. So, so what is that one thing?
No, I'm still thinking.
If you were guaranteed success. All right, cool. While you're thinking, it's interesting, but because I think you do have dreams, you do have goals. But now, for the first time, because we said you're guaranteed success, you wanted to dream a bit bigger than your normal goals, right? You wanted to go a bit bigger than what you normally do. That shows us something, that actually fear is what holds us back from dreaming our biggest dream.
True.
And we use, because of fear, because we think that now it's going to fail if it's too big. So let me dream smaller.
And then climb up the ladder.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you think is the way to do it. So if there was one belief that you could buy from the belief store, is that you are guaranteed success. Your things are going to work out one way or the other. You are bound to succeed. And everything that has happened till this point has just all been part of the journey. It is part of the process, and it's part of what is going to make you the person that is qualified to do that one big thing that you're going to do anyway. So, and in fact, there was a study done amongst a couple of people who were really, really successful. You know, the people who either invented big things or, you know, they just managed to have a lot of success throughout their lives. And there was one common thing amongst them all, is that they all had that belief, even since they were still young. They always just believed that there would be a major success. It's just a belief. Mm. And so there are things that you fail at here and there, but the inside of them, there's just that belief that, you know what, I see myself there. It's going to happen. I don't know how, but that's what I believe. And that's normally one of the most important things, that you just have that belief.
Yeah.
With everything that you do, that you just kind of have that belief that, you know, it's going to work out one way or the other. Mm. So do you finally have it now?
No, I don't think so. But just to add on to what you were saying now, it's the same. Like, I live by my name, and I'm actually grateful to my dad for giving me this name, Tumelo. Mm-hmm. And it means faith.
Oh, yeah?
So every day I live my life by faith, knowing that, you know what, even if this doesn't work out, something mm-hmm. better will come. So, yeah. I mean, I am a God-fearing woman, you know, so I do believe in God and believe that, you know what, even if this does not work now, it will happen in due time, even better, yeah. You know, because I'm out here settling for something smaller, knowing that there's actually something bigger. Because of my fear that you had mentioned, I want to settle for, okay, maybe if I achieve this dream now, maybe the other one will come later, whereas it could happen now. You know, so it's just that constant faith and belief that, you know what, it would happen one day.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still young. I mean, I've also read stories of people who only become successful at the age of 70.
True.
You know, and I'm only 22 now. So what's stopping me from, you know, every day still pushing and still wanting to get that dream that I want?
True.
For myself.
Yeah, yeah. No, it can definitely still happen. I think you're never too old. And if some people at 25 think that they're too late because they see Nasty C's like, ah, check now, Asia, I'm old.
And I must say, it is unfortunate that, well, fortunate and unfortunate for some people, where, you know, they become successful now at the age of 19 and we're like, sure. And the rest of us, it's like only at 35, you're still thinking, but oh, if only I did this and that. But you just don't know that in the next 10 years time, you'd be a billionaire. And it's okay, because who said you're old? You can still live life. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, and throughout this journey, though, it's never, you know, it's never sunshine all the way. You do get some cloudy days here and there. So, and I mean, that's why I guess Jim Rohn was also mentioning things about, you know, it helps you not to get, you know, disheartened or feel down on certain days when you have that, you know, that bigger picture thinking, saying that, you know what, even this is part of the journey. But let me ask you, what was in 2016, for instance, what was your saddest day like? It doesn't have to be sad. It could be down, or it could be like tough, whatever. Oh, it was
the worst. There was like I must say that was the worst kind of day for 2016. Because I've always also wanted to be an air hostess.
Oh yeah,
right. So I applied the Emirates, and then I had a callback. And the same day was Miss Mamelodi Sundowns, which I also wanted to try out. So they're on the same day.
Tragic.
But because I wanted both, I tried to be at two places at once, like literally. So the Emirates one was in Centurion, which at least was like 2 minutes away from home. I'd drive there. And then The Miss Mamelodi one was in town. Mamelodi. No, it was in Pretoria, okay. Central. So I started at the Emirates. Okay, I handed in my CV, picture, everything. And then I drive off to Miss Mamelodi to now go for the first round, which is bikini. Mm. And fine. So my mom, I was like, no, please stay at the Emirates thing and just find out whether I'm shortlisted. Like, I was literally trying to be at two places at once.
Mm.
But at the end, how everything worked out, both of them didn't work out.
Tragic.
It was like the worst day of my life because I was just like, I should have chosen one.
Eish.
And focused, because now with the Emirates, I'd be shortlisted, but then I was late for my interview. So already now that looked bad.
Mm.
And then the Miss Mamelodi also on that side, when it comes to interviews, I was late for that too.
Eish.
So it was just like, I should have just chosen one. It was the most depressing day of my life. I was just like, the two things that I really wanted, but I know the air hostessing one was more important because that's like a lifetime thing.
Mm.
So, yeah, I had to learn the hard way that, guys, choose one thing. You can't have best of both worlds sometimes. You have to choose one. It was really tragic for me. Like, yeah, but hey, we learn from these things. So, yeah.
And how did you get out of that slump?
Okay, I cried a lot. I cried. But because I have supporting family, like my parents, you know, they just sat down with me and said, you know what, it is unfortunate that none of them worked. But we know we trust a faithful God. So maybe something better is supposed to happen. You know, these things, maybe God was closing these doors for a reason. But at the same time, maybe something better is coming on the way. So I just told myself, you know what? Let me dust off myself, pick up myself. I must learn from my mistakes. Enter 2017 knowing that if I'm chasing something, focus on one thing for now, you know. And then hopefully I'll have more time for the other thing. But I just learned that it's not the end of the world, really. It's not. Yes, it's sad at that moment, but I'm just trusting something better is coming out of it.
Wow. So your parents, I mean, one of them was a job and the other one was just the pageant thingy.
Yeah, one was the transport, the other one was stay there. So,
you know, what I'm getting to is they didn't want to force you to go for the job and say, leave the Mamelodi Sundowns thing, man. That's just Popeye things. Just go to the job.
The thing is, my dad was, you know, insisting that I should go for the job.
Are your parents the type to say, no, my child, dream, stretch your wings, do what you want to do?
You get parents. Okay, my parents, fortunately, like, they obviously will try and make a decision for me, but at the end of the day, they put the ball in my hands. So obviously, I made the wrong decision of wanting to do both, but knowing that my dad was also saying, no, but this is a job, you know, but I can see you still want to try. Because the thing is, I also had a reason why I also was trying out for Miss Mamelodi, because you get a cash prize, right? And cash prize, I was going to use it to start a modeling school. Jeez. So they were,
how big is this cash prize?
Like 60K.
Oh, okay.
So both situations were working out somehow, some way, but yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
But I mean, these things happen. They do happen.
Yeah, no. Like, I'm actually grateful. Like, a part of me is like, I'm glad it happened because it's made me stronger and it's made me wiser when it comes to making decisions about my life. So, yeah, I'm not complaining anymore.
Air hostess. Is that still a dream of yours?
Yes. I love traveling. Especially like when I'm on an airplane traveling to like a place and I just watch these ladies do their job. Like, a part of me dies inside. I'm like, but I really want to do this.
Interesting. Do you want to travel or do you want to serve people who are traveling?
Both.
Okay.
I have a passion for serving people. You know, that's why that's the one thing. Also,
well, you can get some training at your local restaurant. You can start there. It's part of the bigger picture. It's one of the dots.
No, but as long as I get to travel together with the serving, that's amazing. But I mean, that's why I also did pageants. You know, I thoroughly enjoy serving people. Just to see the smile on their face, just being able to smile. How are you? Is everything okay?
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, what I'm saying is you can't reject you know, let's say becoming a waitress, because I'll explain why. There's this whole thing of the customer is always right, and you need to be able to keep your cool even if this guy is losing it and he's becoming some sort of way. And you would at least have a bit of an edge over everybody else if you say, I've got experience where I've dealt with some really tough customers, and I'm able to keep my cool, be very professional, and handle all matters in a very sophisticated and professional manner. Mm. And people will say, hey, she's got one up on the girl who only has a YFM. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that don't look down on any dot. It might even be part of the dots. Who knows?
Yeah.
She just made an international turn.
I'm just like, no, you know, there's that thing. Like, yes, some people don't.
What's
mind.
Wrong? What's
no,
wrong with
being
a waitress?
No, there's nothing wrong. You know, but for me personally,
yeah,
no.
Why not?
And I'm gonna be honest,
because
you know, because
you,
it's
what
it's not part of my plan. Let me put it
Why if it was not part of your plan either?
But hey, it's something great. Okay.
Look. Okay, cool. Define what is an air hostess really?
An air hostess is obviously the lady that introduces and welcomes the people on board.
Yeah.
You know, also the person that, you know, makes them feel calm and welcomed, mm-hmm. knowing that, look, you're going to get to your destination safely. If you need any help, please feel free to come to me. I will help you. So it's just that pleasure of just being able to do that minimum. That bare minimum of just, okay, look, here's everything. Are you okay? Making sure that you're safe. And I get to then sit back and be like, okay, I've done my job. Thank you.
And so the difference between an air hostess and, let's say, a manager at a manager at a restaurant.
Yeah.
How big is the difference?
And yeah, you see now, also with the waitressing, it's busy. Mm. It's loud.
It doesn't have to be. What if it is at Priva, at Creme, or at Signature? You know, those really esteemed restaurants with like five people.
Yeah, then I'm stagnant in one place. And
just like in an aircraft.
Yeah, but I'm going somewhere. I'm in the process of going somewhere. I know from Durban, hey, I'm off to Cape Town now. Okay, from Cape Town, hey, I'm off to Joburg now.
Yeah.
So just being able to be at different locations, it's... Yeah, that's something I really love.
Yeah, there's just something
there's
about
just
that
something
thing.
About that thing of knowing right. that I'm going to another location.
Okay, cool. No, I understand.
So,
okay.
So stop doing that now.
It's okay. It's okay. So give us a bit of detail now. You said you did have a plan for 2017. Tell us, what is your plan? I just want to see, how do you plan? Because, I mean, it seems like you're not too bad at this life thing. So tell us how tell us how you plan, and tell us your plan for 2017. How do you plan to dominate 2017?
It's hard, you know, because obviously you sit back and you look at the previous year and you think about it and you're like, okay, I tried to achieve this. This didn't work out, but this happened to work out. So when you try and plan for a new year, you have an idea of what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I always still let God to take control. So yes, I want to be on TV. That's one thing that I'm really aiming for. That's why, you know, in the car, I was asking you, oh, what agency are you with? Because it happens that when I'm like talking to people who are in agencies, I'm like, oh, no, what agency are you with? Because I'm also looking for that good agency that will help me get there. So TV is one of them. Also starting my own modeling school. I'm still passionate about that. I feel that because I have a lot of girls that always like inbox me and say, Dumi, how did you do this and do that? So I want to take my knowledge and wisdom from the industry and just pass it on to other ladies who want to try it out. And also, I'm thinking of also trying out for Miss SA.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. No,
2018?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's been a big dream of mine since I was a little girl. So I've always been prolonging, like, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. But I feel now I'm actually ready to try it out.
Yeah.
And also gym. Get back a six pack, hey?
Yeah. What are you doing about these things? For instance, let's talk about gym and your six pack.
Oh, I started jogging. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no. Because I stopped gym actually last year. But now I'm just like, no, if I really want the six pack, I have to work for it. And I'm also watching what I eat.
Cool.
I used to be that person, you know, chicken licking, oh, KFC, oh, McDonald's. Yeah. And I'd be my body's not changing. But
yeah.
I think I need to change that mentality because obviously they say what you eat is what will reflect on your body.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been jogging, also a few workouts. I watch what I eat, although we just had McDonald's. So thanks, Weza, for killing that. yeah, and then also like, for example, with the TV thing. I also want to go for an acting course. I know Star Quality, they have an acting course. So I'm going to try that out as well. So I'm not just going to go dive in my head with no, you know, background knowledge or any idea of what I'm getting myself into, but also start with a foundation of knowing that, okay, I'm doing this and I'm doing that before I actually, you know, go for it. I need to feel that I'm ready for this. So also with like the Miss Essay, like reading a lot, knowing about what's happening around the world, you know. So those are the things that I'm slowly working on every day of my life.
Yeah. You mentioned that you studied at Tux. I'm not sure if you mentioned what you were studying.
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, I studied BCom Communication.
All right.
Yeah. I really have a passion for media, like PR, events, social media. Like that's my passion.
That's your thing.
Yeah, that's my thing. You know? Yeah. Not that I love the spotlight sometimes, but also behind the scenes. Like I feel like it's also, you're also effective when you're behind the scenes. So yeah, communications, I was just like, yeah, this is it. TV, radio. This is what I want.
All right,
to do.
And you're still kind of going in that direction, yes. But then being an air hostess is something that is another dream of yours. Like it's apart from
this
one. Yeah,
it's like
a
double trouble situation.
Yeah, quarter life crisis. Yeah.
So with the air hostessing thing, at least it's like I applied for it, yes, and if it works out, great. Hey, but obviously it also depends how this side of life is also working. You know.
But what if you get to another Cash 22? You get to another air hostess versus My Melody Sundowns thing.
No, then I'll go for the air hostess thing.
Oh, so yeah. if you get callbacks to Top Billing and you get air hostess callbacks at the same day, what will you do?
Top Billing.
You see what I mean?
I feel like it depends what I'm comparing it
to. Yeah, but sometimes in the beginning you can't tell.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It is tough about
callbacks,
the dreams that I want.
It's a callback, you know? But there's 200 other people coming
and
to
exactly,
the callback
too. And
what
if the Top Billing thing doesn't work out? But I'm just like, you know what? It's okay. It's not my time. But I'm not going to give up.
So what you would know? You still go for?
I'd still go for it.
Okay.
I'm not a quitter. Nope.
Well done. No, what I'm getting to is really that, you know, you do often get to a place where there's so many things that you want to do, but there's so little time, or you feel like there's little time because you think that there's little time, but you're parents would say, "Ah, man, there's a lot of time. You're still young. I'm double your age."
And I'm like, "Nah."
You know what I mean?
I'm 22 now.
Yeah, yeah. So it is quite challenging. Carrying on here with what Jim Rohn wrote, he said, "Building your visual chain of thoughts begins when you have well-defined plans for your career, your family activities, your investments, and your health. So literally all of those areas, not just one of them, but like everything. You've literally have a plan and a visual chain for every single thing, your health, your career, your family activities, and even your investments," he says. So your plans and goals are your visual chain. You know where you're going before you even get there. And that's actually quite an important thing. So it's ironic how we all understand the importance of mapping our strategy when it comes to, let's say, a football game, but and no professional football game, let's say no professional football team ever goes onto the pitch without having a proper plan as to what we're going to do, how we're going to tackle the issue. But we often go through life without necessarily having a proper plan sometimes. And we think that, we just going about, you know, just hoping things will work out. But we don't have an actual proper plan of how things are going to work. And that sometimes is also something that could come to bite us. Hi, this life thing.
Hey. You'll learn the hard way.
Tell me, have you ever had any of those weeks where you feel like, whoa, shucks, the week just finished. Where did the week go?
Too many times. I feel like that happens so often.
Yeah.
It happens very often where you think, okay, no, this week I'm going to do A, B, C, D. Mm. Next thing it's Sunday. And you're like, but wait, I didn't even get a chance to cover those other things that I said I want to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, time is not our friend. It never loved us.
Yeah. It is quite tragic when that happens. Jim Rohn actually also just went on to say a thing or two about that as well. I mean, the first rule of your game plan is don't begin the activities of the day until you know exactly what you plan to accomplish. So at the end of the at the end of today, what should you have accomplished? Yeah, it's a little tedious, but just take that time, just write down, what am I planning to accomplish today? And because, so that at the end of the day, you can, you know, you can just look at that and say, phew, wow, I had a great day. Yeah. I did the things that I came to do today, you know.
I even have an admin day where I literally sit down in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to do A, B, C, D. And by the end of the day, I feel so good knowing that I took the time to actually sit down and work through A, B, C. Like, even if it's working on myself or on my life, my plans, everything, I call it admin day. So I'll be like, no, guys, today I'm not talking to anyone. I'm not seeing anyone. Today's admin day. I'm focusing on myself.
Yeah.
So those days really do help.
Proper stuff. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So, I mean, the message is simple. Don't start your day until you have planned it. Remember that, however, that the reaching your goal is those type of results are fruitful, yes, but they are fruitful because of discipline, and they're not there because of mere hope. It's not just because you are hoping things will work out and then voila, you arrived at this place where everything was done.
Life is not magic.
You know, it's kind of planned, yeah. So, I mean, he says once you start getting good at this, then you go to the next level where you start planning the week and you take out Sunday, late afternoon, you know, when everything is done. In that so-called rest period, that's your admin couple of hours or maybe an admin hour.
Yeah.
And you just say, what do you want to accomplish this week? And then you just write down some things that, you know, this week I plan to have all of these things done. And then you break them down now on your mornings to say, so which of these things are happening today?
Mm.
And then the next day, and then the next day.
And
then,
you should write them down. Hey, write them down.
Apparently we think 800 thoughts a minute, 800 thoughts a minute. And we can read, the best readers read about, you know, between 200 words per minute. So you understand that that there's way more thinking that's happening than reading. And writing is even slower than reading itself. Because, I mean, you understand that you read faster than you write, right? So that's what literally happens. You see, if you only think about what you're going to do, there are so many thoughts happening in your mind all at the same time that things are never quite clear. Even if it's a fear or whatever it is, there are so many thoughts going on in the mind that even the thing that you are scared of is not really clear what it actually is. Even the thing that you want to accomplish is not absolutely clear. But when you go from this 800 words, I mean, per minute type of thing to going to only about 200 or maybe even 50 words, because that's the speed that, let's say, you write 50 words a minute. So once you go now to 50 words a minute, you've slowed down things so much that you can properly write down what this thing is, define it properly, and that actually is a calming process in itself, and you're really able to identify and plan properly. And that's where things actually start to get done properly, not when it's still kind of in your mind, because hey, your mind is something else sometimes.
Powerful thing. So
that's actually quite cool. So let's try writing things down. It's actually really important. And then maybe even at the end, you can kind of crit yourself to see what is your strike rate? You know, like a striker would, you know, we'd call it a strike rate. How many goals do you score per attempts that you made on goal?
Yeah.
So how many goals did you write down? How many of them did you actually achieve? Then you can say, wow, I achieved 70% of the things I write down, meaning that I'm a 70% achiever. So all I need to do is just dream bigger dreams. And if I achieve 70% of those, I'll be rich.
True. You know? And like they say, the only person stopping you is yourself.
Yeah. You know, that's really important. And that's really true as well. Jim Rohn just concluded here by saying, by developing and following your game plan, your days, weeks, months all become part of a larger plan, a bigger design of that you now develop, and it becomes a long-term view of your whole life, a visual chain. You'll start gaining a greater perspective of it all, because everything now is coming together, and that's all because you're planning. And this is powerful. To dream a dream, plan for the dream and then watch your dream turn into reality. I mean, this is actually something really cool, because here's where you really see the power of everything coming together. And it's like seeing your future unfold right before your eyes, and you actually kind of predicted it.
And it's like the most beautiful thing ever, like where you just sit back and say, and you tap yourself on the shoulder and you're like, you know what? I actually did really well. Look at me now. You know, there are beautiful things we see in the world, but to see yourself transform, now that's beautiful.
It is. It's something absolutely fantastic. And I mean, so you can actually check out the whole write-up that Jim Rohn did post. I have it on my Twitter and the Facebook page as well. So just check out at Weza, that guy on Twitter. And you, I think if you scroll, probably like the third tweet from the top
Lies
is probably
tells.
The one.
It's probably going to be like the 20th by
no,
the time we're
man.
Done.
I made sure. It's preparation. You see, planning. Planning is important. Yeah,
yes.
Man. Have to execute the same plans I talk about. Yeah, so I mean, if you check that out there, you'll be able to see it. It's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it's great to just share knowledge, grow. It's a time right now, the year starting. It's up to you to really just decide who you're going to be this year, what you're going to achieve. And it's important that you kind of have a plan, because things don't just happen by hope, right?
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, just like that, the hour is finished.
What? Are you serious?
Yes.
I'm so sad.
Yeah, we call it the shortest hour of the week.
Oh,
and
man, really?
This is exactly how it goes. It really goes pretty quickly. Yeah.
Well, I actually learned a lot from the show today myself.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's good. Well, that's what we always try to do. Make sure that, you know, everyone grows and in one way or the other.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, that's pretty much it. Thank you very much for tuning in. This has been absolutely fantastic being with you, and I'm hoping that you got a thing or two out of the show as well. Drop us. Oh, I actually see there has been some WhatsApps that have been coming through. We see one here from Neo. She said, "I would believe that I would have she wants a dance academy and as big as Disney and be a respectable female entrepreneur." I like what Dumelo said about living by the meaning of her name. "I have also learned to appreciate my name, Neo, and I hope to be a gift to the world." All right, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So, I mean, these are the type of really cool things that are out there, you know. You know, people who live by their name, especially when your mom gives you a really good name to live by, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Like,
you actually appreciate it at the end of the day. Like, actually,
so
makes
what,
sense now.
What must you do if your name is Petros? I'm sure there's something. I mean,
no, there should,
faith.
I mean, all
Peter
names.
Peter had faith.
Yes.
You know
all
what I mean?
Names
Zachariah.
Have a meaning, and they come from something. So,
what if your name is Matlakala?
You see, I was thinking that, ne? Then I wasn't sure whether I should say it on air. So then I just kept quiet. But then because you said it, I'm like, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, these type of things happen.
Yeah.
Not everyone
but don't,
has the best life.
If really it's like that, still live your best life.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, thank you very much for tuning in. This is the Unplugged Radio Show. Until next time.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Yenafuna Hamba Kongo. Hey, what's up, everybody? Umar Razalo, aka Mr. Kwan, aka PLIND. And you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show, 12 to 1 p.m. every single Thursday on Cliff Central. It's too short, like me.
CliffCentral.com.